Financial year 23 was another very successful period for the group. Despite the very tough comps in 2022, we grew revenues by 4.5% on a like-for-like basis. That was driven by growth in both spend and volume. The group delivered total revenue of £215.1 million, which was up 11% on FY22. We posted EBITDA on a pre-IFRS 16 basis of £64.9 million and closed the period with £52.5 million of net cash on the balance sheet. In line with our progressive dividend policy, we propose to pay an ordinary dividend of 11.81 pence per share, topped up with a 2.73 pence per share special dividend, reflecting the success enjoyed in the period. Looking at the operational highlights, our growth strategy remains unchanged. The new centre opening programme is on track in both the UK and Canada. We continue to grow like-for-like revenue through the improvement of the existing estate, and our refurbishment programme continues to deliver above our returns hurdle rate. It's certainly been a busy year for the business, matching our record revenues and profits. FY23 was a record year of investment in the group. In total, we invested just over £30 million on new centre openings, refurbishments, rebrands, acquisitions, and the development of our technological capabilities, all funded from cash generated by the business in the year. In the UK, we opened three new centres, rebranded the three remaining legacy AMS centres to Hollywood Bowl, completed transformational refurbishments and space optimisation projects in nine other centres, and installed pins on strings in 13 more bowling venues. In Canada, we completed one refurbishment and started on site in one more. We acquired three centres and built a strong pipeline for new openings and further acquisitions. Two such acquisitions that have already completed at the start of FY24, taking the total centres currently trading in North America to 11. I'll now hand over to Lawrence, who will take through the numbers.
Thanks, Pete. On slide six, just to show the financial performance, on the back of an exceptionally strong FY22, it was pleasing to see continued like-for-like growth at Steve said of 4.5%. Total group revenues of £215.1 million, which was growth of 11% compared to the same period last year, but actually was growth of 16.2% when you exclude the reduced rate of VAT on bowling benefit that we got in FY2022, which was worth, as a reminder, £8.8 million at revenue and £6.6 million at an earnings level. This very strong trading, coupled with our discipline on costs, led to a record group adjusted EBITDA on a pre-IFRS 16 basis of £64.9 million, which was up 7% on FY2022, and an EBITDA margin of 30.2%. Adjusted profit after tax was £36.8 million, resulting in an EPS of 21.48 pence per share. And as you can see from the graph, what we tried to do is split out what the benefit was on the reduced rate of VAT and what the numbers would have been in FY22 when taking that out. On slide seven, we set out the growth in total revenues compared to last year. And as previously noted, FY22 included the benefit of VAT on bowling. Therefore, the underlying UK revenue, when taking that out, as well as the 6.3 million of Canadian revenue in FY22, was 178.7 million. Our UK like-for-like growth at 4.1% was a combination of spend for gain growth of 3.4%, taking like-for-like average spend to just over £11, as well as like-for-like gain volume growth of 0.7%, which is an improvement on the half-year number of 0.6%. This like-for-like growth, alongside the performance of the new UK centres, which contributed £6.3 million, resulted in record UK revenues of £192.6 million. Our Canadian business continues to trade well. The Canada business showed like-for-like growth of 15.1% post-May 2023, when they annualised the acquisition, with gains growth of 9.5% and spend per game growth of 5.7%. Total revenues in Canada were $37.2 million, £22.5 million. And as you see from the graph, the centres accounted for £18.2 million of that 22.5, with the balance coming from our Striker installations business. Total group revenue was £215.1 million, as I mentioned earlier, 16.2% growth on FY22. The average family of four could still come bowling headline price for under £25. And we believe that maintaining this value for money pricing strategy is a big factor in our continued revenue growth alongside our investment strategy. Get your pens ready for lots of numbers now. On slide 8, we set out the income statement. Gross profit was £177.6 million, which was 8.1% growth in FY22, but a 14% growth when you exclude the VAT benefit. Gross margin in the year was 82.6%. Now, to break that down, gross profit for the UK business was £161.2 million, with a margin of 83.7%, with the trend of amusements growing at a higher rate than bowling, producing a higher gross profit overall, albeit at a reduced margin, because amusements have a lower margin than the rest of the business. Gross profit for the Canadian business was in line with expectations at $27.2 million, which was £16.4 million, and a margin of 73.1%. The lower margin rate when compared to the UK business is as expected, due to the lower gross profit margin of the Striker bowling equipment and installs business, the higher food and drink mix, which is around 32% compared to the 26% in the UK, and the lower contractual amusement gross profit margin, which currently sits at around 52.5% compared to the UK, which is over 64%. The Splitsville Centre has contributed £15.2 million of gross profit of the 16.4 in Canada. Centre-level admin costs, excluding depreciation and amortisation, were up 15.4% to £87.6 million. Of that 87.6, employee costs were £40.7 million, so nearly half. And that was an increase of £7 million compared to the prior year due to a combination of salary increases, the impact of higher like-for-like revenues, new UK centres, which contributed £1.2 million to £7 million, as well as the full-year effect of employee costs in Canada, which was worth £4 million and for £7 million. Total property costs accounted for under pre-IFRS 16 were £36.6 million, with £33.9 of those in the UK, which was only an increase year on year of £0.6 million. Rent costs in the UK accounted for £17.6 million and the spreads of the £33.9 million. And underlying business rates increased year on year by £1.6 million as the COVID-19 concessions were removed during the year. However, due to business rate appeals that we've made in respect of the 2018 revaluation finally being agreed only 5 years late, the group received £2.3 million in cash refunds in the year, resulting in an overall decrease of UK business rates of £0.7 million. We don't expect that one-off to repeat in FY24. The total property cost in the UK increased by £1.1 million in total, but with new centres accounting for £0.9 million of that. Canadian property centre costs, much more straightforward. They were in line with expectations at £2.7 million, which is £4.5 million Canadian dollars. Now, thanks to the introduction of solar panels on our centres and improvements in our own energy efficiency, we also benefited in the year, as discussed at the half-year results, from selling off some of our electricity hedge, which we agreed back in 2020. The volume that we'd hedged was no longer required, and therefore we sold off at just under the height of the market in the second half, and that benefited the P&L to the tune of £1 million in the year. There'll be no further benefits from selling off any hedges in the future. Total property costs under IFRS 16 were £39.6 million. Corporate costs include all central costs, as well as the outperformance bonus for centres, and they increased by £3.2 million to £25.3 million in the year. UK corporate costs increased by £1.3 million, with the main driver being increased marketing and digital spend. Now, as we continue to build out our support team in Canada, this, combined with a full year of ownership, resulted in corporate costs increasing by £1.8 million, to £2.3 million in total. The additional people in Canada include a new director of operations, as well as leaders in marketing, people, and property. Group adjusted EBITDA pre-IFRS 16 increased to £64.9 million, including a £4.5 million contribution from the Canadian business. Exceptional costs. They relate to two main areas. The first is the acquisition costs in relation to the three centres that we bought in Calgary in February, as well as the acquisitions which were in progress in year end, which obviously have now been released, one in the UK and two in Canada. The total cost for acquisition in the year were £0.7 million. The second is the earn-out consideration, as noted as part of the original calendar acquisition, which is an exceptional cost of £2 million in the year, of which £1.8 million is in admin costs, and £0.2 million would be within interest. The statutory depreciation, amortisation and impairment charge for the year was £26.4 million, only marginally up on FY22 by £0.7 million. All of this led to an adjusted profit before tax of £47.8 million, which was down only £0.8 million versus the statutory PBT in the year previous, and that included an £8.6 million, as I mentioned earlier, of the reduced rate of VAT. When you remove that benefit, PBT was up 19.8%. Adjusted profit after tax, 36.8 million, and EPS, 21.48 pence per share, which was up 12.2 pence on prior year. We'll have time for questions at the end for any of those recaps. On slide 9, we set out the inflationary pressures. We've all seen inflationary pressures in FY23, but we are better protected than most, with 73% of our group revenue not impacted by cost of goods inflation, with a reminder that bowling is 100% gross profit margin and amusements is on a revenue share. Food and drink costs account for less than 8% of total revenue, and whilst we aren't seeing the previous increases, there are still some small amounts coming through. Labour costs are less than 19% of revenue at centre level. Now, we aren't immune to it, and the National Living Wage and Minimum Wage increase announced in the autumn statement will be a 10% increase on payroll, which is actually 3.5 percentage points higher than most people had forecasted. And therefore, for us, a hit of an incremental 600,000 in April of 2024 and a 1.2 million announced annualised. In relation to energy costs, we've been extremely well protected from the increases that have been seen due to our hedge, which ends in September of 24. Now, whilst it would have been great to be able to get back to those low amounts again, that was highly unlikely. And we were right to wait until most recently when we agreed a new hedge, which now takes us out till September of 2027. This increase for FY25 will be around 30% of the FY24 increases, so about £1 million, which compared to others in the sector that were talking of 50% increases to 70% increases when they successfully, in inverted commas, agreed their hedges. We're really pleased with this. We will also be able to trade the market for a lower FY2026 cost if the market prevails as such. And we'll be continuing with our solar installs, which are now in 38% of our estate. Capital cost inflation has impacted us, particularly as we've seen been accelerating our refurbishment and new centre opening programme, and actually the one that we foresee continuing for the longest. This has obviously impacted on our ROIC, but we are confident this will still be above the 33% target we set ourselves on refurbishment and the 19% on new centres. All of this, plus our wide demographic appeal and strong footfall locations, means we're able to continue to see lower than CPI price increases. On slide 10, we set out our free cash flow, and we drove exceptionally strong free cash flow in the period, with group adjusted operating cash flow of £52 million. There's a small working capital in the movement, mainly due to the record centre level bonuses in FY2022 and the near record ones in FY2023 for our centre teams. The group spent a total of £9.1 million on maintenance capex, including the implementation of pins on strings across 13 more centres. It's now at 83% of the UK bowling centres, and solar panels, which are now on 27 centres, as well as maintenance spend in our Canadian business. A total of £7 million was spent on refurbishments in the year, with £2.1 million of that on Canadian refurbishments, Richmond Hill that was completed in FY23, and Kingston that was started in September and is due to finish in January in Canada. The refurbishment of 13 UK centres were completed, including the final three rebrands of AMF to Hollywood, and despite inflationary pressures, we continue to exceed the hurdle rate of 33%, as we'll talk about on the next slide. New UK centre capex was a net £6.8 million in the year. £5.8 relates to the centres that opened in the year, and £1 million relates to centres that are going to open in FY2024. Post-tax, interest, capital, lease repayments, We generated $29.5 million in free cash. Also, it's worth noting we paid out $25.3 million on the final ordinary and special dividend and the interim dividend for FY24, as well as $7.3 million for our Calendly acquisitions. Now, post all of this, our cash balance at the year-end was a very healthy £52.5 million. But it's also worth noting the three centres we acquired in October, there were no earn-outs on any of those, and the total consideration was £7.6 million. On slide 11, we review our UK refurbishments, which have continued to pay back at industry-leading rates. With spend per game performance up 13.2% and lineage volume up 3.7%. And our average payback on capital invested is over 55% for the last 17 refurbishments. On top of that, it's even more pleasing to see an increase of 4.5 percentage points on our net promoter score. And this is really testament to the continued evolving investments within our centres. We've also noted by some stars in the bottom axis, those centres that are on their second generation and even third generation refurbishments, which are still generating strong returns. We've also completed already one refurbishment in financial year 2024. We continue to see strong performance from our new centres in the UK, and as we can see on slide 12, the EBITDA continues to be top in the industry. This is down to our focus really on long-term sustainable EBITDA, as well as the quality locations that we continue to focus on. Our last four openings are on track to deliver returns on gross capex in excess of 35%, against, as a reminder, a target of 19%, and on a net capex basis of over 45%. Just to note, those centres are not in chronological order. Our successful UK new centre pipeline continues to grow. We opened up three centres in FY23 and have seen some exceptionally strong performance from those. Our FY24 pipeline is also strong, with Lincoln already open, the purchase of a long leasehold unit, the only bowl in Lincoln with limited to no opportunities for another operator to open in the town centre, and the total consideration for that was £4.4 million. £2 million of that is for the long leasehold, and then less than 4.5 times EBITDA for the trading business. We're due to be on site in two further locations in January, already on site in one, and therefore we forecast to open at least four centres in the UK in FY24. Our strong covenant, good relationships with landlords, and importantly, our investment cycle through our refurbishments is making us the first choice for conscientious landlords looking for a long-term sustainable tenant. We've secured a pipeline beyond FY2025 with even more in legals and head returns discussions, with one even being signed today. Now onto slide 13, where we set out our capital allocation policy. The group's highly cash generative business model discussed earlier and strong balance sheet means the business is well placed to continue to invest in its customer-led UK and international growth strategy and take advantage of opportunities as they arise, while continuing to deliver attractive shareholder returns. In light of this, the board reviewed its capital allocation policy with the updated priorities for cash in the following order. Capital investment into the existing estate through refurbishments and maintenance. Investment into new centre opportunities and acquisitions, including for expansion in both the UK and Canada. To pay and grow the ordinary dividend in line with adjusted profit after tax. Now, given our strong performance and our cash balance, the ordinary dividend will be based on a payout of 55% of adjusted profit after tax for FY2023 and onwards. And any excess cash will be available for distribution to shareholders as the board deems appropriate, importantly, without impacting on investment in the growth of the business. Now, the board has declared a final ordinary dividend of 8.54 pence per share based on the adjusted earnings per share of 21.48 pence. And in line with the allocation policy, there's also a proposed special dividend of 2.73 pence per share, which will be paid alongside the ordinary dividend, taking the full year to 14.54 pence per share, marginally up on the prior year. Furthermore, given the surplus cash at the end of FY23, the board's confidence in the strategy, strong balance sheet, as well as the board's view that the business is undervalued on the public markets, the group's also announcing a share buyback program of up to 10 million, which is intended to commence shortly after the AGM. We'll continue to periodically assess the progress of the share buyback program in light of our allocation policy. Investing in the group's growth and profitable growth will be the priority for the use of cash. And on to slide 14, our financial investment outlook. We continue to be excited by the period ahead. We're a strong, well-capitalised business ready to take advantage of opportunities. We're pleased with the FY23 performance, and in light of the favourable weather we've mentioned earlier in the UK, we're expecting a more modest like-for-like growth in FY24. We will see the full-year effect of the Carragby acquisitions, as well as the new centres opened in FY23 and those already acquired in FY24. We're mindful of the inflationary pressures, and as noted earlier, we expect to be able to manage these through our P&L dynamics. Payroll inflation's marginally higher than expected. Our electricity use is now hedged until the end of FY2027. And all of these cost increases can be offset by minimal price inflation if needed. We'll continue to invest in the quality of our estate with at least 7 centres across the group to open in FY2024, with 3 already done. 10 refurbs planned across the group, including Canada, and then continued investment in our cost-saving and ESG initiatives. Given all of this, we expect CapEx to be in the region of 35 to 40 million. Now, that does include the money that we've already spent on the acquisitions in FY2024. And then to recap, our final special dividend brings us to a total of 14.54 pence per share, and also the share buyback program of 10 million.
Thanks, Lawrence. On slide 16, we show that how we've grown the estate consistently and sustainably since we first acquired the Hollywood Bowl brand back in 2010. We closed financial year 23 operating 79 centres that individually generated an average EBITDA of over £1 million, testament to the quality of site selection and acquisition criteria. Since the start of new financial year, we've acquired 3 more centres, 2 in Canada and 1 long leasehold in Lincoln. We're on site in 1 new building in Canada, and as you saw from Lawrence's earlier slide, plan to open a further 3 new centres in the UK in the year. We've developed a strong pipeline both in the UK and Canada, and based on the information that we have in front of us now, we expect to be operating at least 130 centres by 2035. In addition to the new centre expansion, we continue to drive marginal gains through the continuous improvements we make to our offers. Starting with the bowling environment, we've continued the rollout of the Pins on Strings technology, installing into a further 9 centres during the half. 83% of the estate now benefits from the tech, and we'll be installing into at least 6 more centres during FY24. The target return on investment of 30% is still being beaten, despite the increase in the cost and cost inflation that we've seen, and we continue to drive improvements in both free-fall centres as well as pins-on-string centres as we continue to refine the offering. Our latest new opening in the Maryhill Shopping Centre boasts all of our refined design elements with new lighting, digital signage and sound that allows us to vary the atmosphere for the different day parts. It's actually our most successful new opening to date and showcases the very best the Hollywood Bowl brand has to offer. We've also been leveraging the learning from Puttstars, introducing the concept into one of our existing centres with plans to include into 2 more Hollywood Bowls during FY24. In the amusement areas, space optimisation projects have allowed us to improve machine density and accommodate larger high-quality games. We've seen 510 new machines installed during the year as part of our rotation programme and over 100 new player positions added to the amusement areas. The new payment options we've been trialling have been installed onto more machines during the year, enabling us to take some price as well as remove barriers to play. We've been rewarded with a 7.8% increase in the amusement spend per game during the year, and this growth has come from a mixture of both increase in play as well as moving the average price per play on amusements by 11.7% versus the prior year. In our food and drink offer, our well-tested mantra of delivering a quality product served quickly, consistently at a value for money price point continues to resonate with our customers. We refine the menu in readiness for the winter trading period, managing to keep prices well below inflation, with our best sellers, so burger and chips, still being the same price as it was in 2019. Keeping customers at the lanes is important in a capacity-constrained business like ours, where customers buy a game rather than time. In the year, we grew food and beverage sales at the lanes to 20% of all food and beverage revenue through a mixture of lane hosts, delivering sales and service superiority, and new app-lane mobile ordering for those that prefer to order using their own devices. We saw a 4.8% increase in our food and beverage spend per game during the year that's under review. On the next slide, we look at technology. For the last 8 months, we've been developing our own bespoke booking system, Compass. As our business has evolved, we've become increasingly aware that the current off-the-shelf systems are not suitable for the size and complexity of our business. The open-source multi-channel booking technology that we've developed will integrate with our current CRM tools and handle multiple data sets from all of our different revenue streams. The system has been built to handle multiple currency and tax treatment, and the pilot testing has been very positive. Now nearing completion, Compass will be launched in the second half of FY24 through a phased rollout in the UK and out in Canada. Investment in the digital customer journey has continued as we've refined our sales and marketing and our online booking systems. Online sales conversions, centre yields and capacity utilisation have all improved through targeted marketing, our upgraded website and continued use of our dynamic pricing. We do have a strong culture in Hollywood Bowl when it comes to our team, one of high trust, high support and high accountability. We're really focused on creating outstanding workplaces, and it's one of our three pillars of the sustainability strategy. In FY23, we refreshed our employer brand, Let's Roll, designed to improve communication in our business and attract a more diverse team. The response since launch has been fantastic, with a significant uptick in team engagement, social media and website traffic, which has resulted in more job applications. For the second year running, we rank amongst one of the top UK best businesses to work for. Our Hemel office was awarded 3 stars for its working practices, placing us amongst the select few businesses rated as a world-class business. The group team member net promoter score has also increased on the prior period. I'm really grateful for all of the hard work and effort our team put into delivering the record results the business generated this year. Our team members are supported by our industry-leading in-house training development programs, and although there continues to be considerable competition for leisure in the for labour in the leisure market, our refreshed employer brand that launched during the year has made a significant difference in our ability to attract and retain top talent. When we look at financial rewards, average pay for team members has increased by 7.4%, and we paid out 3.2 million in bonuses to our team members, with every team member in the business able to earn a bonus. Centre managers received an average of 64% of their base pay in bonuses, and our assistant managers received an average of 14% of their base pay in bonus for the year. On slide 20, we'll look at the progress that we've made against our ESG strategy. We have a focus on 3 core areas. Safe and inclusive leisure destinations, creating outstanding workplaces, and a commitment to operating sustainable centres. In FY23, just under 1 million concessionary games were bowled by a mixture of special needs groups and their carers, school groups, and local community support groups as we strengthened the relationships within the local communities that we operate. As I mentioned on the earlier slide, we were once again voted as one of the UK's top 25 businesses to work for, and our internal talent development programmes continue to deliver. 45% of all management appointments came from our internal talent pipeline. Building a sustainability focus within our centres, 82% of all waste was recycled in the half, and 27 centres now have solar arrays on their roofs that generate 34% of the energy that they use through their solar panels. All of our managers and support team have access to a company car electric vehicle scheme, and we're installing electric charge stations in as many of our centres as we can. This year also saw the formation of the new Corporate Responsibility Committee, chaired by Non-Exec Director Ivan Schofield. Our UK transition plan has been developed, and we're working towards our net zero goals. So turning our attention to Canada, on slide 22, we have enjoyed some real success over in North America in the year. Our growth strategy in Canada, as a bit of a reminder, is focused on 4 areas. Investing in the existing estate, acquiring existing businesses that complement the current estate, opening new centres, and supporting the Canadian bowling market with Striker's products and services. The Canadian operation traded ahead of expectation in FY23. Like-for-like revenues grew by 15.1%, and at centre level contributed EBITDA of 10.3 million Canadian dollars. We've made good progress on margin improvement. Payroll to revenue is down to 28% and EBITDA margin up to 34%. That's a 10 percentage point improvement on last year. We continue to share ideas between the businesses, adapting the UK operating model to a Canadian audience, whilst maintaining the entrepreneurial spirit of the original business owners. We were able to sponsor 4 UK team members to take up permanent roles in Canada, one to help in HR, which is vital to growing our operations and evolving the business culture, one to head up operations, and the other 2 as centre managers. We completed a major customer research program to really get under the skin of what people value about our proposition and what we could do to improve. And we've been rolling those learnings into the Splitsville brand evolution program. The refurbishment program is progressing well, supported by the Striker businesses, with 1 refurbishment and rebrand to Splitsville completed and another due for completion in the coming weeks. Newly refurbished centres have been very well received by customers, with returns on investments performing well above our hurdle rate. For example, profits from the Richmond Hill Centre have more than doubled in the period post-completion of the refurbishment works. We acquired 3 fabulously located centres in Calgary that will all benefit from investment and a rebrand in the coming months. We have a very busy FY24 planned. We're investing revenue generating and cost-saving capex into the estate to improve the customer experience. In addition to the planned refurbishments, we'll be commencing the trial of pins on strings out in Canada. We've been working hard modernising the Splitsville brand. We're launching a new website, new signage, CRM program, digital marketing strategy, and we continue to cherry pick the very best of the UK practices to improve the Canadian operation and margins. As we mentioned earlier, we acquired 2 more centres in October, 1 in Vancouver and 1 in Guelph, Toronto. We have a new build due to open in April and we're in legals on 3 other new build centres, securing the future pipeline. The Striker business remains an important part of the Canadian growth story. We've a strong order book for FY24 and we're in discussions to extend the exclusivity with Brunswick on supply of their products out to 2027. On the next slide, slide 23, we just look at a case study of Richmond Hill. This was a centre that we acquired very soon after we bought the Splitsville business. We spent just over $4 million Canadian dollars acquiring and refurbishing the centre, and it's traded exceptionally well since the reopening and deliver a return on investment north of 40%. On the next slide, we just set out the details of the Calgary transaction. So we acquired the 3 centres for a total consideration of $12 million Canadian dollars. That's the 4.3 times EBITDA multiple. Now, whilst the centres are now trading as Splitsville, they're yet to have any transformational refurbishment capex spent. From the limited essential capex invested and change in management and processes, we've seen a 10% uplift in revenues and a 30% improvement in profitability. We plan on refurbishing all of the Calgary centres in FY24 and we'll target a 25% return on invested capital. On slide 26, we've pulled together a bit of a market review. It's quite a long time since we last did one, back in 2017 or 18. Competition for the leisure pound has never been as fierce as it is today. And whilst there are many benefits to being listed, one of the downsides is having to tell everyone else how well you're doing. There's been a real and sustained shift of consumer spending on experiences, with a reported 13% uplift in participation since 2019. And bowling remains the most popular activity in the category, and we've certainly benefited from that trend. It has meant, however, that lots of other operators have started accelerating their opening program, and new entrants have come into the experiential leisure market. Now, Lane 7 are now up to 13 units, Roxy Leisure up to 18 units, Tempin now operating 52 units. And there isn't a huge amount of white space, meaning that we have seen an increase in competition. And as an example, in the Birmingham, Liverpool and Sheffield markets, all markets that we trade in, there have been no fewer than 29 new operators chasing the leisure pound. There are plenty of ex-retail opportunities around, with landlords looking for leisure to complement the retail offer. And with more and more competition for the space, there is becoming upward pressure on leisure rents. As a consequence, most new offerings tend to be seen as innovative, but need to be more expensive and exclusive. Price, quality of offer, and location remain key. And on those fronts, we maintain a very strong competitive advantage. We're the best value, have the most inclusive offer, operating in by far the best locations, but there is more competition around than there ever was before. So in summary, it's been another very busy and successful year for the group. Demand for our offer remains strong and we've worked hard to keep our price increases well below inflation and the cost of our product fabulous value for money. We have a strong balance sheet with a simple, proven business model and a capital allocation policy focused on progressive shareholder returns. Happy to take any questions that we may have. We'll start with questions in the room and then we'll go to questions from people who have dialed in.
Can I ask you, you said you expect a modest like-for-like increase in the UK in 2024. Can you elaborate on that and what will be the component between volume and price, if you can?
Yeah, so look, we're not going to give out forecasts to people. The experts do that. Look, if you look back, what we've always said is 3% like-for-like growth is where we expect the market to be. Last year, we benefited from the weather being in our favour throughout, you know, no snow. It was sunny in June when everyone when kids were at school. It then got sunny again in September when all the kids went back to school. And in July and August, it was lovely weather for bowling and not so nice for everybody else. So we benefited from about 4.1%. If you take the 3% and say what would it be over a two-year basis, you get about 1.8 to 2% like-for-like growth for FY 2024. In terms of volume and spend, we expect a mixture of both to be positive, but it's not like a restaurant business or something like that. The incremental volume doesn't lead to incremental payroll, so it's not something you sit there and go, we need to do this. And also in some of our centres, we're busy already and we're full at those peak times. And you can start to play around with price on a Monday at, you know, between 9 and 4 when you're really quiet. But guess what? Most days, everyone's at school, kids are at school and everyone's at work. So you can mess around with price and not really get anywhere. Our focus is on trying to build those shoulder periods at peak days. So can we get you to come in at 9:30 in the morning on a Saturday? And if we can, what's the discount that we need to offer you? And that'll be different by centre as well. So both will be, in our view, will be the positive growth on both. But where we see the benefit from the weather is volume related. So I'll just caveat that with that.
Okay, clear. And I remember it was November, December 2021, when just after the COVID period, you were among the few leisure venues that could be open and so benefited from that. So then you said that several people who hadn't been bowling for many years came back to the centres and saw a completely different experience. I was wondering, are these people coming back? Are these people becoming regular customers? Do you have any views or data on these?
Well, I think it's huge to look back at where we were trading pre-COVID in the 2019 period. You know, post-COVID, our revenues are up north of 30%, and then we've comped those numbers and grown from them. So that would indicate, yes, you know, we've rebased and those people have continued to come back. From a data perspective, I think, you know, it's always really difficult to really get under the skin of the average customer, because when you strip out all the lead bowlers, the special needs and concession groups that are coming a lot more frequently, we're still around that kind of 1.3, 1.34 times per year.
Still 1.3, 1.4.
Yeah, but equally, you know, again, it's really, you know, if we were all to go bowling as a group, we would only know that one of you have all come unless we managed to capture all of your data on that visit.
Just another one, if I may. So, of footstars, it's the only one that basically we don't expect to grow, et cetera. What would prompt you to start, you know, growing it again?
So, I mean,
nothing really.
There's two reasons really why I suppose the Footstars rollout was stalled. Was one mainly because and the main reason being most of the new site opportunities that we've well all of the new site opportunities that have come our way building the pipeline, we've been able to fit in a Hollywood Bowl. And we always said if we could fit in a Hollywood, we would do a Hollywood because the returns are just so much better. The second element was the cost inflation of new site openings. Mm-hmm. You know, we have seen significant cost of not just fitting out in terms of the labour cost, but also the fit out cost of just the supplies and the fixtures and fittings. And when we were already on that kind of between 16 and 19% return on the put stars versus the, you know, that you've seen in the results, targeting 19%, but returns over 40% for the Hollywood Bowls. It just makes sense to deploy the revenues into the most cost-effective way, or the ones that generate the best returns.
And if I go for a couple, what you said about the weather and the benefit last year, is that consistent with only 0.7% growth in games? Is that simply because you've put, to your point about your management? Then the second question was around the buyback, the 10 million. So we all know there's always differences in shareholder opinion. Someone buyback.
Yeah.
But it's just basically why 10? And you're not giving a target leverage. Do you pencil to do that?
With both questions, you
yes. Yes. So in terms of the like-for-like growth, I mean, we saw volume growth of 0.7% as you mentioned, and some of it was attributable to the weather, some of it was obviously to the refurbishments. The 1.1% is mostly felt through the volume growth, but we did see it in both. In terms of the share buyback, we do have different opinions on it, but as a board, we decided this is a good mixture of the two in terms of a special dividend, increasing the ordinary dividends to 55% adjusted profit after tax, and also then allocating some towards the share buyback. It's important to note, I mean, we didn't put a leverage number on, but we don't have any leverage, we don't have any debt. We didn't put a cash number on either. And that's partly because we don't want to be beholden to that number. And actually, if an acquisition came up in the year and we set ourselves, let's say we set ourselves 25 million as a target, we haven't and we didn't discuss it in terms of actually nailing a number down. But if an acquisition came up in the year and we felt that doing an acquisition was the right thing to do, plus continuing with the buyback was the right thing to do, but that took us below our 25, we'd suddenly be holding ourselves to a number. On the flip side, an acquisition might come up, which is significantly larger, means that we would go below whatever this number is, and we wanted to stop the share buyback, or one was coming up that we wanted to hold on to the money for. So by putting a number in, as advised by our brokers as well, and by the experienced board, it was important for us we didn't hold ourselves to some sort of number that could be broken, and then have to explain why we've moved away from that number.
And sorry, last one. The 130 longer term aspiration.
Yeah.
Are you indifferent between single site add-ons, new build? Just because you talked about not much white space.
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly in the UK, but we define that pipeline. So, you know, we think there's probably an opportunity for us to open up about 20 more in the UK, and we've already in discussions on 12 of those. You know, equally, having said that, I can remember sat here in the very first meeting that we did post-listing saying we think there's probably about 20 sites we can open in the UK. You know, the landscape changes and new opportunities come available, and we've certainly seen that the retail landscape, for example, you know, has continued to develop. But notwithstanding that, there is only a finite amount of people who live in the UK, and we've got some pretty punchy coverage now across the whole of the UK, which is why we were looking at international opportunities so that we could continue with the sustainable, profitable, long-term growth of the business.
Thank you. Two from me. First, just on the amusements, you always talked about a new payment option coming through.
Yeah.
I think in the release, it states a price to play for a lot of machines is still being kept at £1.
Yeah.
With the new payment technology being utilised, is there more opportunity to update, say, £1.10, or was the opportunity to make 5-10% growth on that wouldn't see any impact in volume?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's sort of what we tried to demonstrate during the presentation, was sort of showing that, you know, it's a large part of our revenues, amusements, and therefore a potential risk if we're stuck at, you know, 24% of our revenues only being and no ability to leverage price. With the change in the machines, so multiplayer machines, we've been able to move price a little bit on, so moving more than two-player machines or four-player machines like air hockey, for example, to £1.50 a game rather than £1 a game. And the payment technology enables you to do that without having the impact on volume. One of the biggest challenges by moving to a purely cashless system was that, you know, the customer is committing to spending that multiple, whether it be £10 or £15 or £20 when you're buying that card. By having the tap-to-play boxes on the machines, then you can move the price to, you know, £1.50 or £1.25, like we've done on pool tables, for example, you know, again, two-player game or air hockey. Then some of the bigger machines that we brought in, where you've got virtual reality in motion, so even like the Superbike games, for example, we now have a virtual reality version of that that's coin-operated. You can then charge £2 to play rather than £1 to play. So that you've got the choice in the amusement area for the value-conscious customer or those who are slightly better heeled and able to spend a little bit more on the experiences. So long as you've earned the right to charge more. So the motion machine, the virtual reality machine, again, gives you the ability to do that. We've also increased the length of play on some of the machines where we've increased price. So you do get more play time on the machines and therefore a better perceived value for money.
Okay. And then on the food and beverage, you talked about 20% of food and drink revenue from lane sales and the ordering technology.
Yeah.
Where was that a couple of years ago? Where do you think it could go? With respect to people, say, booking online and also having the option to have drinks there when they get to their lane, is there any percentages for how many people use that option?
So, I mean, that's been an area that we've grown considerably, certainly post-COVID, where we were doing lots of pre-book your food and drink. A lot of it, I really want to give specific percentages or where we're trying to get it to, because actually they're all levers that we can use to help drive volume, because it tends to be when you bundle products, you're doing offers. Now, we'll remove offers during the peak trading periods or when the weather's in our favour, or introduce them to drive volume, drive yield, and get us back on the demand curve. But it's certainly something that we saw a huge amount of growth of post-COVID that we've managed to maintain, and we've been developing our websites and payment options to capitalise on those opportunities. In terms of where we were before, it probably wouldn't have been too far away from 20%. It was just that it was being delivered by a team member rather than by customers being able to use it on their own devices. Now, what that does is we've not taken a reduction in team. It's just meant that the team that we do have are a lot more productive and can spend more of their time running the orders rather than taking them, so customers get quicker service.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Any more questions from in the room? Doug, have you got any?
I think it's pretty comprehensive.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all.
We'd have to take any questions from anybody who's dialed in online.
Thank you. If anyone would like to register a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad and ensure you are unmuted locally. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press star followed by two. So that's star followed by one on your telephone keypad to register a question. As a reminder, that's star one to register a question.
Okay. If there aren't any questions, clearly we just did such a great job of the presentation. We'll close the call. Thank you very much.